beer and a Ruby Murray.
Oh, you've tubbed up rice.
I've had a right enough of you and your Dawsons.
Oh, she sells seashells down at the Michael Barrymore.
I'm so sorry, Rob.
I parked it at the Khyber Pass.
Liberace!
Can you add him and leave it with Rob Bullocks?
I'm just thinking with this busy, the traffic is in this time of the year, Rob. You can be pretty sure there'll be beef analysts parking it up the Khyber Pass over Christmas.
Yeah, it's a good place to go, actually.
Great stuff. Hey, so Rob Bollocks is with us. We have this little part on the Breakfast Show every Wednesday morning called Can You Adam and Eve It? Which is Cockney rhyming slang, isn't it, Rob?
Would you believe it?
Would you believe
and
it?
Same thing as last week. Got a story all sorted, very happy with it. Then this one
good
fell into my lap.
Prepped your journalism. Yep. And then just.
Always. And I thought, we should get both of them in. We've got enough time.
You
know. Right. This one started about 2 years ago when Charles Litton, lead scientist of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Hawaii Monk Seal Research Program.
Focusing on the monk seal, yep.
Received a strange email from researchers in the field. It said, eel in nose.
Sorry again.
Eel in nose. We found a seal with an eel stuck up its nose. Do we have a protocol? And
Jesus.
I've actually got a photograph of it there for you.
I've seen this.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. I've seen this one.
Yeah, but you're on all the monk seal websites, aren't you? I've seen it before.
Obviously.
So obviously they didn't have a protocol for it. So after a few phone calls and that, they said, right, we've got to pull it out.
It was quite amazing. Imagine being the guy, though. You're the guy.
Yeah.
You're the guy. You're the go-to guy for the final call on that.
Yeah.
Eel up the nose.
What do we do? They've never seen it before. I've got to point out it was a juvenile because this is very...
Juvenile seal or juvenile eel?
It was a juvenile...
Seal, eel, seal.
It was a juvenile seal. Ooh. Seal and eel, they sound so similar.
Very similar.
It was stuck out about 2 inches... out of its nose, and it took him a minute to pull the nearly metre-long dead eel out.
So head first, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it made a good run for it when it did go in.
Yeah. So they said, the bloke said it was like pulling like handkerchiefs out of someone's nose, you know, the old magic trick. But since then, it's happened at least 4 more times, right?
What?
It's happened 4 more times, and the last one was last month.
What?
In each case, they've actually removed them, and obviously the eels are dead. And
so
at least
they know what the protocol is now.
Yeah, yeah. Now, they've decided it's not humans with a personal vendetta against seals and eels because all the cases are on remote islands. So they said, right, that's not
so
that.
That's not someone going, ha-ha.
Yeah, unless you like, really
I'm
hate
gonna
them.
I'm going to do this again.
Unless you really, really hate them and you've got a boat and loads of money and time
and
on
happen,
your hands.
And you happen to be coming past that remote island and just happen. Upon that one seal, who just happens to have been the one that had been pranked on by some wacky nose. You can eliminate that.
Anyway, they've come up with a few theories to eel snorting. That's what I've decided to call it. But Charles Litton says none of them make any sense whatsoever.
Sneeling?
Do you want a quick sneal? I was trying to get the word snort in there, but I couldn't do it. But you shouldn't do it, kids. Anyway, it's ridiculous. A seal's preferred.
Even adults don't snort eels.
No.
Don't.
Do you know what I started thinking about? You know, Mighty
Even
Boosh.
Even adults.
Mighty Boosh.
Greg. Eels up inside you.
That was playing in my head.
Whilst that eel was playing in the sea.
Yeah. Seals' preferred prey is usually fish or octopus and eels. They've got no hands, so that's the hump with their
no,
faces.
No, they don't have hands. No,
so
that's
they hump
right.
with their faces,
don't
right?
shake hands with an eel. An eel or a seal?
Eels. No, seals. Fuck. I knew this was going to happen. Seals.
Neither of those animals have hands.
No, they don't. So they reckon maybe one got cornered an eel and thought, I'll escape
there's a dark spot there.
But the eel's diameter is probably close to what would be for the nasal passage. Plus, when they dive, they close all their nostrils up. They got like these little nostril covers.
They do too. The seals are you.
Yeah. Yeah. Another unlikely.
So you're saying that the eel has either somehow for some reason the seal has nostril has opened whilst underwater.
Yeah, but it can't.
This is a great Christmas story.
Because the muscles are like real strong.
They're like it's like an earlock.
Yeah,
you know, to lock in the ear.
Yeah,
yeah. But and then so the eel's just gone. It's either tried to pry it open.
Yeah, or just a real good run at it. And just was lucky.
Yeah, but real good run, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although, let's remember they don't have feet either, so.
He said, but this is where it goes a bit stupid for me.
Oh, this is where it goes a bit stupid.
Yeah, yeah. He said the most plausible theory is that monk seal teenagers aren't all different from their aren't that different from their human counterparts. Monk seals naturally are attracted to getting into troublesome situations. He added, it almost feels like it's one of those teenage trends that happens.
If you had a friend who was sticking eels up his nose and them getting stuck up there, you wouldn't just say, you know, getting into trouble. He likes to get into trouble. Oh, God's going to be such a troublemaker.
Yeah, but when you got hands...
He's got another eel up his nose. What a troublemaker.
When you think about it, if you ain't got hands, it's going to be hard to get into mischief, isn't it? So maybe that is true.
I've always thought seals were quite mischievous.
Yeah, but they have no idea how it's happened. I don't think it's because one seal saw another seal do it and thought, oh, I'm going to really piss my parents off. I'm going to get into eel snorting.
Running with the wrong crowd.
Yeah.
But that's, once again, not running because they, of course, don't have...
So all I've got to say is, that, like, kids, don't do it. It's a mugs game.
All right. Good call.
Really? Just BFM, the station that cares. Right. Now, this is the one I was going to go with. Oh, right, yeah. Aliens.
Ready for you.
Aliens. A NASA scientist has theorised intelligent alien life forms may have already been on Earth, and believes that current thinking about extraterrestrial life is far too narrow. Dr. Silvano P. Colombo, sounds like a gangster.
Silvano Colombo!
He works for NASA's Intelligence Systems Division, which develops advanced software technology and is real clever geezer and all that. He believes visitors could have been extremely tiny and super intelligent entities.
You and I have had this conversation in the past, Rob.
Yeah. The search for ETs has ignored the potential relevance of UFOs. You know what I immediately thought of? That thing on Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy where Arthur Dent says something. It goes across the universes and time warps and everything. Ends up at this little planet where it's an insult to, like, the leader's mum. So they all jump in there like starship, like battleships and all that, hurtle towards Earth, and they get eaten by a small dog. So that's the same sort of thing. Yeah. He said, like, scientists are too focused on pursuing signs of modern human technology on other planets. This could mean it's nothing. You know what I mean?
It could be, like, who's to say that they're not just shadows?
Exactly.
Or that they're...
I've seen shadows.
I've seen shadows. I've seen funny things in the corner of my eyes quite often.
Same here.
Tess, have you ever seen anything and something that you're unexplained? You've had an experience of the unexplained? As far as a sighting, you know, because I'm always interested to, you know, like what people have seen.
I haven't had anything that unexplained.
I saw when I was...
Do you yearn for such a thing?
I've seen paranormal activity.
No.
Oh, different. No, this is okay. a different
well,
category.
I've seen that, so that's
okay. Different category there.
I was coming back. I did a show one Saturday. I was coming back, walking through Papakura.
Oh!
I was looking at the sky, and I see this light went ping, 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 gone.
Yes, I've seen one of those.
And I just stood there, and I thought, well, what was that?
I was reading an article the other day where this, and you wouldn't be the first person to have thought that when you've seen an anomaly in the sky, Rob. You know, I've myself.
Was it an anomaly?
Was it an anomaly? You know, I've always wondered why they have to have lights. Don't they bump into planets or what? Like, why would you alert some? Like, I'm fascinated by that. Remember, there was that big sort of cigar shaped rock that we picked up going through the solar system.
Yes.
And everyone was saying that it was moving in a way, and there's stuff about it. I can't remember what the facts and what's and wherefores were of it, but basically there's a TED talk. There's a very esteemed scientist talking on a TED talk about why discussing this, that it could, that, you know, why they thought it had high possibility. It may have been a scout ship.
Wow.
Or, you know, like that. I know. But who, and why did they, I just don't even, why do we even think that? Listen, to the people who keep texting and saying, what is a sea monster chain? Just calm down.
Yeah. My last little thing on the history of the monocle, because I can't let it go.
Oh, thank God.
It was first developed in Germany during the 1700s and was originally called an eye ring. And it soon spread to Vienna. It soon spread to Vienna due to the enterprising optics student called J.F. Volglander, who started making them in Vienna around 1814. And there's a company in New York that still sells them.
It's very hard to get a good decent a glass monocle.
They're New
very
York.
Hard.
So next time someone goes
to
New York.
You can get a rubbery one.
Nah, it's no from good. I want a
Look
pucker
Sharp
one.
Costume shop or something.
I want a pucker one.
Something on that real base level. But it's the monocle is it's gentleman's.
Without a doubt.
Gentleman's.
Without a doubt. I'll go out and buy a dressing gown as well.
What do you call it? A condiment? Accessory.
Accessory.
Because is there a more sophisticated word to use than accessory?
No, that's it. That's perfect. So that's it. So if you want to buy me something for Christmas, you know what?
Do you know which was your dominant eye?
Right eye.
Then that's the one you wear it on. I was bought a monocle by my friend. We told you about this before, listeners.
Yep.
After seeing the King of Tonga wearing all that weird old stuff, and we thought that was so funny. And so we looked around for monocles, and maybe got from that New York place. But the instructions are to be worn on the dominant eye.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing to know which one your dominant eye is.
Yeah.
And does that mean your other eye just weakens away like the guy in Hogan Terrace?
Yeah. Or Popeye.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Can you Adam and Eva with Rob Bullocks?
She's undone her sea monster chain.
Thank you very much, my son.